Is it rolling, Bob?
Bienvenue au Québec, mesdames et messieurs, et mes enfants. It's good to be back. I've just taken a little break from our guided tour. We have a guy, the same guy we had last year. He is a Beatle fanatic. He just got back from a tour of Eastern Europe and Liverpool and London. And I'm almost impressed, surprised actually, by how many French Canadians love the Beatles. There's so much pushback against the British and the English and the, you know, the history, that it just strikes me as odd that something as British as the Beatles would just be absolutely, I would say the biggest fans of the Beatles are in Quebec, French, amongst French Canadians. Even my good friends in this podcasting universe, Sylvain Grandmaison and Laurent Lassalle, are big fans. Anyway, he's leading the girls around Petit Champlain, showing them where the funicular is. They can ride tomorrow. And Lower Town, it's always the, right now, we're here for the Francophone times, the days when people are dressed up in the costumes of old Quebec. And it's a great thing for the students. What a thrill, you know, to be sitting here and, to be walking around and seeing people in these period costumes from 400 years ago. Lots of people just get into it. So it's a lot of fun. I just love Quebec. We had a little rain on our arrival, and then it just disappeared. So it looks like it's going to be a good time. My leg brace is acting up. I don't know what happened, but for some reason it is just biting into my ankle. Judy, our very kind guide, got the first aid kit out and gave me a bandage, one of these flex bands that I've wrapped around my ankle several times. And it helps just a little bit, but I've got to find another solution. I just don't know why. This thing is out of whack. But anyway, it's not... It's just not of interest. Being back in Quebec is the wonderful thing. I get excited coming back here. We've got, we stay at this lovely hotel, the Chateau Laurier, just outside the walls of the Louis Gate, I think. And I have wine and beer left over from earlier in the trip. And I cannot wait to get back into my room and pour myself a drink. And just celebrate the fact that I'm here for at least the 25th time. 23 times with the group. Certainly once or twice with my wife. Well, a couple of times probably when I was younger. So I would say it's probably even going on closer to 30 times. But whatever. Whatever. It's not about numbers. It's about the quality of the time. Tomorrow's the free day. The students have to make their plan of what they're going to do. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. After our guided tour, we go back, we check in, and then we go to the Sugar Shack tonight for our traditional French-Canadian food. It's wonderful, ending with crepes and maple syrup, but, with pork and beans and beets and just traditional food, good pea soup. I absolutely love it. It's wonderful. And they've got it down. It's a thing. And they always have a musician. If you've listened to this podcast more than once or for more than 1 year, you will have heard some of that music in the background. I always bring my recorder, and he is just fabulous on the accordion, the spoons, the fiddle. And he usually gets the girls up dancing. I don't know if he's on tonight, but that's great fun. So it's odd. I don't like talking about things we're going to do. I'd rather talk about things after we've done them. So what have we done? Well, we left Toronto, and I interviewed the first 18 of the 32 girls. I always call them up to the front one by one, take their picture. They just have such cute, lovely smiles. Their whole faces light up when they smile. And they sit in the front seat, and I ask them about their host family time, and I ask them about their best memories, the most difficult part of the tour. I ask about the students that we've recruited, who they found it easier to talk to. And virtually every student came up with the same name, which I find very interesting. One girl in particular, who we all knew as staff, had something special about her, had a quality that just somehow resonated. She's the one whose mother taught my son. Just one of those weird coincidences. But the girls definitely connected with her, and it really says something about her. And she's one who asked me if she could use me as a reference, and boy, oh boy, would I ever give her a good reference. So that's fun. It's really nice to see the girls and find out what meant a lot to them on the tour. And then each one has to ask me a question that's part of the interview process. And, you know, a couple asked me, why did you start this company? And I thought, oh, that's such a great question. And gave my reasons when I lived in Japan. I didn't want to let go of Japan. And I really, there's certain things I liked. And I used to teach at their school. So I invited them back 1 year to try it. And if it worked, would continue. And if not, that would be that. And it worked. And we've been coming back ever since, and on and on. And then the second one asked me the same question. I gave the same answer. And then one of the Japanese teachers explained to me, they're asking you because it's their way of saying thank you for continuing to do this program. And I didn't pick up on that. The subtleties of Japan, sometimes I still miss. And so after that, I said, all right, that's it. Nobody can ask me that question again. You've got to come up with a new one. Some ask, you know, the qualities of a marriage and our Canadian, you know, and the significance of the maple leaf. Is it a good symbol? And each one has to write a report, which keeps it interesting. They have to do a little research. They have to talk to people and ask questions and make their notes. And then in this 100-page booklet that they put out every year, they have not only the entire journal written in English of what they did every day, but the research project, you know? So it's just absolutely a wonderful program, and I'm just so pleased to be a part of it. I just keep sitting there thinking, wow, how did I end up here? But enough, you've heard that before. I should get on to something new. I'm very, very pleased. As of this time, I've put out the Bark League podcast, and this morning from Ottawa, just before getting on the coach to leave, I was able to fix up the XML file so that I could put out the Ottawa podcast as well, although I haven't done the blog, haven't updated the blog yet. I'll do that when I get back to the hotel. But that's a separate job, and I know I'll have Wi-Fi in the room. That will be easy. And then this is the start of the Quebec, and maybe this will be the end. I don't know. I might get to Montreal. I might do Quebec and Montreal together. Probably will. So, bienvenue au Québec. Remember the motto, je me souviens. I remember. It's funny, I feel sometimes like I'm speaking just to our American listeners, because the Canadians know all this, and when I think of the American listeners, there's not all that many of you, but those of you who are, Quebec is a trip. It is a very, very wonderful place to visit. Okay, so that's it. I'm going to sign off. The coach should be around another 10 minutes or so. I think I'll just soak in the local atmosphere. And if I think of something else I really need to share with you, I'll turn this right back on. It's awfully fun, too, sitting up in the very front seat of the bus. Oh, one more thing. We have to feed people on the way, and there are different ways of doing it. We sort of fine-tune the program over the years, and we have found one small town that has a McDonald's and a Tim Hortons. Judy runs ahead to the McDonald's and tells them, I've got 36 people. One person is paying the bill. We want to order as quickly as possible. Because, you know, your average McDonald's suddenly doesn't want a line of 36 people coming in. And the locals would go crazy, the people who are waiting in other lines. So the system we worked out this year for the first time was that we give them four choices. You know, you get the chicken nuggets, a McChicken sandwich, a McFish sandwich, or a Big Mac, and all our combos, and you get juice or pop. That's fine. So the trick is the girls have to remember what they ordered, so it all works out. And then Judy went back in the bus and took everybody's order. How many, didn't write names down, just, okay, how many, with each person should say, what do you want? And they would check off whether it was any of those four choices. And then go back into the restaurant. I go back with her with my Amex card and say, okay, we need four, you know, chicken McNuggets with barbecue sauce. We need 18 Big Macs. We need, you know, and whatever, and on it goes. And then, of course, the pops. And then you get one bright person, because you don't want the slow person there. And there are some slow people there in this small-town McDonald's just off the highway. You get the bright person behind the cash, and she just taps it all in. And next thing, you got a bill for $367. And you say, here's the Amex card. Slap it on there. And then because they tell the staff in advance, okay. And I could not believe how efficient they were. Oh, here's the guide, here's the bus, here are the girls. They just click on that, and McDonald's, they're just bag after bag after bag. Here's three more Macs, here's four more fillet of fish, you know, and off we go. So that's it. I got to leave. I see my group. I don't want to see them to see me recording. They'll wonder, where's Mr. Bull? What's he doing? Catch you later. Bye for now. Sitting in a very squeaky old chair. It's a gorgeous hotel. I've just found out this is where the Rolling Stones stayed, including Mick Jagger, when they did their concert in Quebec City a few years ago. I would have thought they would have had something even fancier, but apparently this is really close to the venue, the outdoor venue they were playing at, and they pretty well took it over. I found out because Judy, her guide, was here with another group, and they got bumped to another hotel. Anyway, it is nice, and I just had a meeting with the girls, or myself and the two teachers, but I take control at this point, and it's kind of fun telling them the plan for tomorrow. We're giving them free time. Basically, we give them from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon to be free to go around Quebec City, but they can only go in their groups. And before they leave the hotel, they have to hand us a piece of paper showing us what their sightseeing plans are. They have to pick at least two destinations of where they're going to go, you know, tourist sites, so that we know they're actually doing something and not just going shopping. And it's a tradition we've had with this school. They sort of earned the right to do this. And it's kind of a big deal. Looking at my ankle, I don't know if it's swollen, but man, oh man, I did a number on myself. There's a numbness in both my feet. I really have fucked up a bit on, I suppose you could say letting my health slide, not doing things, but some things are just, hey, they're going to happen. You know, you can extend your life, I think. You can prevent some things from happening. But I really do I have to make sure I don't get much worse because I'm just not going to be able to walk like I wanted to walk around this city tomorrow. I had to take the brace off. It was hurting too much. But again, sorry. I'm just, you know, it's got to be a reflection of my day-to-day reality, but I just don't want to dwell on this at all. But I guess I'm speaking out loud to remind myself of what I have to do when I get back home. Just got a letter from the college saying, hey, we haven't received your offer yet. Do you still want the job? And fortunately, I had a copy that I signed and sent almost 2 weeks ago. So sent again. What's going on? I sent it to you. But anyway, what else? The evening at the Sugar Shack. You will hear some music on this particular podcast of the fellow who plays every year. All these things are traditions. And going to the Sugar Shack on Ilderlands, it's so nice because the view when we come back from the Sugar Shack and the girls are high on sugar. They've had maple crepes, you know, maple syrup on their crepes, and this traditional French Canadian meal, including the tortillere and everything else. Then at the end, they put out a tray full of snow and pour hot, thick maple syrup taffy onto it and hand the girls a popsicle stick, and then they put the stick onto the sticky taffy and roll it and roll it and roll it until it's a big gooey golden glob of warm, sticky, sweet syrup candy. And of course I had two of them myself. What a treat. Oh, it is so good, so pure tasting, and especially that little trick of having it in the snow in August. But the thing is, by the time we get back on the bus, they are just going through the roof with energy and excitement and laughter. And then we shut down all the lights and we drive over the bridge that crosses the St. Lawrence from the island back onto the mainland. And you see the Montmorency Falls lit up by night. It's just, again, one piece of this tour that I see, you know, every year. Around the same time, just one little scene, that scene of the Montmorency Falls at night. But it's such a treasure, such a joy, such a wonderful memory to have and to keep having. The musician, again, as I said, he can do the old-time fiddling, accordion, banjo, and meanwhile puts down a board like Stompin' Tom, except he does the real French-Canadian double-time stomping of the foot along with his music, and it's just fabulous to see. He puts it in, and then as he does every year, he teaches the girl how to do a traditional dance, but in French, very, very simple, and sign language, and makes it really funny, and, takes them through all the steps, and in no time, the girls are running like wild through this huge hallway, or through this huge dining hall. We were the only bus there, so we were the only group, so we had the whole place to ourselves and all the staff, and the girls just get up there, and they're not afraid to try this stuff and to try playing the wooden spoons on their knees, and of course they go to the gift shop and buy lots of maple syrup candy and tea and things to bring back to their parents. But it's a fine tradition. I don't know if that was my door or not. Hang on. Cheers, noisy. No, it wasn't. I should just lie in the bed. It'd be less noisy. Isn't that ridiculous? Gosh. Anyway, I got CNN on the raided home of ex-Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort. Who raided? Oh, the FBI. This stuff of saber-rattling between North Korea and America, or between Trump and the maniac over there, oh man, this is not good stuff, not good news. Anyway, it just feels nice to be back in my room. I'm not meeting with the teachers tonight. I'm just plain wiped out. But it's just so wonderful. You know, to be on a tour, to be a guiding part of it, but not to have the responsibility, oh, tomorrow I got to go get my car, I got to park this, I got to drive. We got our own driver to do that. Fine driver. Man, the way that guy can drive a bus around the tight corners of Quebec City in traffic. I am just so impressed. The bed is wonderful. The big four fat pillows. And I got one of the bigger rooms because I usually do entertain my guests. So we have breakfast here. It's a wonderful, wonderful French-style buffet breakfast, and that means many different kinds of cheese and yogurt and fruit, and then your eggs and, you know, bacon, the works. It's a treat, and good hot coffee. Something I look forward to, looking forward to it already. And then I'll have a whole day off and meet the girls back at 4 o'clock to march over to L'Ancien Canadien, the oldest restaurant in Quebec City, where we have our wonderful little baked salmon dish. And the girls all dress up in their finest clothes, and they're just lovely to look at. They're just so cute. And then I'll decide what I'm going to do. And then we give them free time again in the evening. We meet at Champlain Statue at 8:30 and walk back. So, yeah, again, here I am telling you what's going to happen when I really should be telling you what happened. But it's good. It's all good, and I'm enjoying this a lot. I'm sorry if it's a little bit repetitious or a little bit boring, but sometimes when life is good, it's not nearly as interesting as when a person is miserable. The question I have now is, do I... oh, yeah, one more thing. I am an experienced traveler. Now, I left my coffee mug back at the hotel in Ottawa, which pissed me off. It was one I really liked. It was very handy. And, you know, it's replaceable. That's fine. Then I went to brush my teeth and went, oh, damn it. Left my toothpaste, big, full, brand new tube, and my toothbrush back at the hotel, too. Got a spare toothbrush, so that's okay. But what I did before going out to for dinner was take the ice bucket, because I don't have a fridge in this room, remembered where it was from the last time I stayed here, and went and got a bucket of ice and stuck my beer in it. And now, back in the comfort of my own room, I have ice cold beer to drink, and that's a treat. There's lots of other little tricks I've learned about traveling and packing and preparing and thinking ahead that just comes with experience, but of course for all that, I'm also starting to forget things too, but yeah, the question is, do I have another beer? And the answer is, yes, you do. So, well, oh my God, ridiculous chair. Dave left two upper cans. I'm not really enjoying them that much, the lager. I've got a can of a nice Mad Tom and a brand new. Why didn't I do the Black Creek Rifleman's Ration? Here's the decision. You know, is that one I want to share with the teachers tomorrow? But I could just get them a Quebec beer. Rifleman's Ration. Doesn't that sound more appropriate? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have that one. So, see if I can do this single-handedly. No, I don't think I can, so I'm going to put this down. Sorry. There we go. Sorry, I'll even share my first sip with you. Peanuts here and other snacks. So I'm going to sign off now and just sit back and enjoy myself. I am kind of happy to have this MacBook Air with me, this brand new one. It's a nice big screen, big size keyboard. I'm getting used to the trackpad. I do miss a mouse, but I'm learning the, you know, different ways of getting the things and, you know, the shortcuts and stuff. So anyway, this is Ken signing off. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thursday, lundi, mardi, mercredi, jeudi, August 10th, août, le 10e d'août, I think. Anyway, there's a little bit of the French comes back to me. I'm always happy when I can speak to the maid or the waiter and say something in French appropriate. Anyway, it's just past noon. And this is our first stop on our little tour today. Now, I don't think it's going to be much of a tour. Last clip, I talked about my leg and the ankle and this plastic brace biting into me. I wrapped the foot up with gauze, or the ankle anyway. Put on the brace and my running shoes, and there's no pain, there's no irritation, there's no, you know, whatever was wrong yesterday. So I don't know. Maybe I just threw out my ankle. That's quite possible. Sorry. We're not going to do health matters here. Although I have to admit, I'm more and more aware of them and more, you know, concerned a little bit about the future that, how long can I do this? Like, what fun is this if I can't enjoy walking through the streets of Quebec City? So I'm glad to say I got a lot of work done. I'm trying to arrange a hookup with my good friend Michael Hiles, one of my few remaining high school friends who still lives on the West Island. He has a home in Beaconsfield and a beautiful cottage in the Laurentians, and I'm trying to get an invitation to both, or one or the other, anyway. And we have a tradition every year, if you followed me, of going out to, I guess, Île Perrot, Baie d'Urfey, I can't remember. and having Big Pete's smoked meat. It's just so good. The cherry coke, that's our treat. That's our tradition. I went out there with John Meadows. Was it last year or 2 years ago? Can't remember. But anyway, it's a thing. So this morning I had, you know, things to catch up on, a little work-related. And then finally said, man, I got to get out and just see how it is. And here I am with no pain and ready to do a little walk. And I picked a new route today, which I'm very excited about. I have certain patterns I'll follow. If you go straight along Grand Allée, either direction, one end you end up towards the Art Museum or past little museums and so on, and can cut down to the Plains of Abraham, which I've done many times. Head the other way and you go through St. Louis Gate. And, or Louis, I don't know, St. Louis, no, that'd be the king, I guess, but anyway, through the gate and into, you know, old Quebec, where all my students will be, and the Château Frontenac and the Statue of Champlain and the funicular, but I'm not doing that either. I took a different route, past the back of Parliament buildings, that's lovely. There's doing a lot of reconstruction now. Oh, my God. I have just turned around and I'm looking at them in the sunshine and they're beautiful. It's a light granite or stone and there's a gardens I'm sitting at. But especially important, the reason I'm sitting here is I am at the foot of René Lévesque, the statue of René Lévesque. It's all out of proportion. Like it's a huge hands as big as his head. He was the Prime Minister of Quebec, if those for my American listeners here. Born 1922, died 87, but he was the Premier Minister de Quebec from 1976 to 1985, and of course he was one of the leaders of the separatist movement. He was a journalist, he was a media maverick, well, not a maverick, but he was all over the media before social media and on television and radio. A real character, and I actually liked him in spite of his political views. He just was something that made living in Canada interesting. So they have a special place here. Now, normally there was a tradition. People would leave cigarettes for him because he was a chain smoker. And you'd often see a package of cigarettes or somebody would stick a cigarette in the bronze fingers that are sticking out here. So I guess I'll have to take a picture of that. The apartment buildings in the background. We're trying to get our students to see them. And oh my God, what a lovely, lovely spot. Really. And it's we're up on a hill. I'll be heading down to Rue Saint-Jean later. So I'm taking a different route. And just that excites me. Oh yeah. And entering the old city from Rue Saint-Jean is a nice way. You're going down below and then going up, and you know, a lot of my students are going to Ashton's for to share a poutine, which is great. You know, we saw all the girls off at 9 this morning. They came to me group by group with their list of where they're going and some usually the cost and what they're going to see. And it was great. And then we just tell them, okay, have a safe day. See you at 4 o'clock. So to take these 16-year-old girls that we've been sort of, you know, under the care of teachers the entire time and guides, to set them loose. This is one of the few cities in the world where you could do that without any worry. We've never lost one. So dinner tonight, yes. So I've given myself 4 hours. Now, I deliberately, intentionally left my weed back at in my room, thinking, okay, you've only got a four-hour window here. You don't want to still be high. And now, as soon as I got on this walk and got excited and looking at just the architecture, the doorways, this city, Quebec City, I had the urge, oh, man, I just have a token, really get into it. But we're gonna forgo that pleasure. I might be staying an extra night in Montreal. I was gonna stay over one night. Found out the room is gonna be $129 plus tax, and thought, well, you know, plus they were overbooked. Maybe I'll just pass on that and see if my friend has a spot at his house in Beaconsfield instead, and he does. So, yes. In other words, there'll be plenty of time if I feel I need a talk, especially if we go up to his cottage. I'm just waiting an answer on that one. many visitors come up here sort of on the map to come and, you know, see this statue. There are many politicians, of course, of the building is surrounded with them. What is most especially beautiful about these Quebec Parliament buildings are the historic figures and statues. I've probably mentioned those before. I've come, I've taken pictures. People I know from history, of course, right at the front over the main entrance are the two generals, Wolfe and Montcalm, the French and the English generals, who were both killed in the Battle of the Plains of Abraham just over there in 1759. I think actually Montcalm may have died a day later, but anyway, carried off the battlefield. And then the list of French explorers, those brave men who got in canoes and traveled all over. And other ones who fought in various wars, fought against the Americans. It's terrific. Now, it's hard to get near it because there's just a whole lot of reconstruction going on. But, you know, there is next year. Wow, I'll be back. That's why I have to stay healthy. That's the message. Shout out to Rob Lee for noticing that I'd forgotten to tack back on the XML suffix on my Dixon Jane's feed, and therefore it wasn't automatically uploading to iTunes. Rob tacked it on for me. He has access because he is the gentleman behind the site that I am using. Thank you, Rob. Very much appreciated, and I'll try not to make that mistake again. I feel excitement. I feel like a little kid, you know? And I think it's sort of a relief, the fact that I'm not in pain. That always helps. But just to take a different route, just to wander the streets. I'm going to go downhill and on our way. But I wanted to introduce you to Monsieur Lévesque. And I guess maybe I'll just pause there while I take a picture. And we'll be on our way, and I think I already know the place I'm going to stop next, just outside the gates. So stay tuned. Come along with me and enjoy La Belle Province, in particular, the Ville de Québec. Oh, yep. What is it? Jamata is Japanese. I always mix up my French and my Japanese when I'm in a place like this. Somebody spoke to me in French or asked me what is the Japanese word for something or other, and I'm going French, English, Japanese, and I'm just jumbling away till it comes up. The brain is just that system. The processor needs a little repair, retuning. Au revoir, of course, but you know, à la prochaine. Oui. Bonjour. Okay. Welcome to the second place on our tour, the Deuxième Place. A place I was destined to come to, and a place I come to every year. But because of my problem walking last night, I thought, I can't make it all the way down to Rue Saint-Jean. And this route I took, starting with René Lévesque, heading downhill, I was going to turn right into the old city, and instead turn left at Rue Saint-Jean, which is the part I love. It's outside the gate. This is where the French people live, not where the tourists come. And the first thing I see is a grocery store. Aha! Maybe I can get toothpaste, because I left mine in Ottawa. And sure enough, it's a grocery store without inflated tourist prices. I mean, it's a real store for the people to shop at. So I got a tube of toothpaste and went on and said, ooh, they got San Pellegrino, the drink that I had in Ottawa. I'm having exactly the same one in Clementina. Although for a dollar more, I could have got myself a beer, but I figured I'd have a beer back in my hotel room before going out tonight. So I bought a beer anyway to take back. Some bacon-flavored smoked, kettle-cooked, applewood smoked bacon flavor potato chips. Sorry, I'm not trying to horn in on what is that? Soho group does with a potato chip licking. I don't lick my chips, Brent. I'm going to try it. Actually, I'm going to lick this one. Ooh, that's horrible. What a way to eat a chip. They're not bad, but, I mean, what do you expect? You're asking for chemical flavors. You get what you deserve. Anyway, more exciting, I got to the cache, and I've been looking all over the whole store for cheese curds, and I couldn't find any. And there, sure enough, at the cache, was probably the last bag. Now, I don't know how long they've been sitting there, unrefrigerated, but I love me some cheese curds. So I got those. I got some other cheese for the teachers tonight. I probably should have gone out and bought, you know, very expensive, very good Quebec cheese, but I didn't. I got something very simple that we could spread on chips and stuff. Okay, anyway, so much for the shopping. I'm in St. Matthew's Cemetery, as I think I said, and this is the place that I had come to years and years ago and was so upset that there was, like, dog shit, if not human shit, on the broken gravestones. And this was the cemetery from the 1770s, I guess, to 1860s for the Protestants. And it just fell into disrepair, and apparently, according to them, there's only 340 marked graves or something like that. But in fact, probably 10,000 bodies here piled one on top of the other over the time. I guess this is a harsh place to live, and this is outside the walls of the Quebec. I guess people would just, you know, how far down do you want to dig? I don't know. There's something sad, and it's a place for, you know, drug hangout, place for the rubbies and so on. I guess they don't use that expression anymore, the rubbies. We used to use that when I was in university, referring to the people who are drinking, you know, sweet dinner rind or something on a park bench, and a broken down alcoholic, a rubby. It was always meant as an insult, of course, and it was, but I think that's fallen out of use, probably just as well. But again, feeling good because, yeah, this is, I am on Rue Saint-Jean. This trek I thought it was going to be too difficult for me, which was depressing me a little. Here I am. And I'm going to go further on. There's a favorite record shop on here. Now, my absolute favorite ever church is just further up the hill, but I've been told again by our tour guide yesterday, no, that's permanently closed. They might change it into condominiums or something. But inside was just a wealth of beauty, of stained glass and carvings. And it was the most... I'd spend an hour just sitting there in awe. And now I can't. It's very, very sad. And I hate to think of what's going to happen to that stuff. But it's as if it's a real backlash. The people are finally had enough of their church and the way they were treated by the church, and we'll have nothing to do with it. Nobody's interested. Now, to me, it would be a remarkable tourist destination. But it's almost as if the people living here would not want tourists on this street anyway. Keep them inside the walls of the old city. That's for the tourists. This is for the people who live here. And, of course, it was many, many years ago, probably when I first started this tour, that a guy tipped me off to this street, and I've loved it ever since. So, I will end this little clip here. And all I wanted to say was that I'm happy, I'm on my way, and there is more to see. I've even planned my route back, and it's almost 1. I have to head back till about, 3 hours. Anyway, we're good for a while, yeah. So, oh, yeah, I know. This is the place where I used to always have a toque on the tour in honor of these fallen sailors and soldiers. And the harshness of the life, to be posted here to Quebec City, to survive a winter when you're hated by the local population, must have been an awful, awful place to be. Hard to imagine what life was like back then. If this these audio recordings survive, I owe it to people of the future to tell you that my life has been pretty damn good. And I've been blessed with food to eat, no wars, and family and love and friendship and stable governments and everything else. So I am grateful. This is yours truly, the Toqueless Ken, signing off. Bye for now. I'm afraid this spot might be a little noisy. I've got my back to the wind, but it's coming up from the stairways leading way down into Lordtown. I'm at our third stop on this trip, and anybody who's listened to this podcast over the years will know that I've mentioned this place many, many times, and this is just outside the St. Jean-Baptiste Church. And yes, it is closed, and it's looking a little rough around the edges. There's some litter and garbage around the doorways, some unsavory characters all around it. And sort of at this end of Rue Saint-Jean gets a little rougher. They've put up new benches and flowers, so they've gentrified the street. It's quite lovely. It's really, there are more benches along this street now than ever before. And it's great. I did see a double-decker, open-top tour bus go down the street, but you don't see many tourists walking this street. They do say stay within the traditional tourist areas of Old Quebec, but it is the place to go if you're coming here. There are just so many little cafes, and I was going to do that, but I had a huge breakfast back with the works, and we're going to have an early supper at 4:30. So I really didn't need lunch at this point. I made it here. This is the spot. Now I'm looking straight up the hill, a very steep hill, and I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to take a longer route back, but a slightly easier grade. Now, I made another stop, but I didn't want to record from there, and it is my favorite little record shop that I go into. And he's got cassettes, vinyl, and records. And it's the same man. I talk to him every time. He's got a huge bust of Elvis, like life-size head of Elvis. And I asked him, do you get many people offering to buy that? Oh, yes, he said, but that's my, he couldn't find the English word, but it meant good luck charm, that it keeps his business going, having Elvis right at his hand. It's wonderful. It's a real classic old long sideburn, greased back hair Elvis, probably from the Vegas days. And anyway, I browsed through, and then I don't really need anything here. But I just like going in there and talking to him and getting the vibe and hearing the music they're playing. He had disco going. But it's just one of the locals who's, you know, obviously is managing quite well. He's been there forever. And then just on the way out, I was, you know, they were alphabetical listings, and I saw Beau Dommage, and that's a group that I knew from Montreal, from my time there. It was a French-Canadian group. And I thought, oh, my God, that's it. An LP that I wouldn't have gone in looking for, but as soon as I saw the name and recognized it, oh, that'd be wonderful. They did have a hit song, and he told me the story behind it, that it was actually their... the first album recorded had one side of a song, the entire side, and the record company didn't want them, so they made them record another one. And anyway, this one is... it may have a song that I will remember. And if not, I've got some great French-Canadian music that you will hear on, if not on this, because I can't play it on my computer. I left my CD drive at home. That was another mistake. I thought, I'm not going to need that. But anyway, you will hear some of these songs. There's Le Blues de la Métropole, and I'm sure that was the hit song that I remembered. And this is from 1975. Beau Dommage, où est passé la noce? La noce? I don't know. N-O-C-E. La noce. I don't know what that means. Picture of a big, dirty old Cadillac on the cover, dressed up either for a funeral or a wedding. Anyway, it's a thrill. It's a real thrill. So it was a wonderful stop. One more wonderful stop. Now, just before going in there, my phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was from the Chateau. And it was from one of my students calling me and doing a very good job of calling me to tell me that one of the girls was sick and she was now back at the hotel. And I guess they were kind of wondering what to do. They couldn't find, they wanted to tell a teacher. Well, both their teachers have gone, and I don't recall the teachers giving cell phone numbers to any of the girls. I had one, and it was a Los Angeles number, and of course I couldn't get through. So there you have it. I was able to get a hold of Judy. Judy is going back to the hotel. I had the girls explain to me, you know, the room number, and said that if they could leave one girl with the girl who was sick, then the rest could go back out to get their lunch or do whatever they had to do because they hadn't eaten yet. So, you know, that was a solution, a reasonable decision. Judy was 10 minutes away, but she was going to get back and check in on her and then call me back with a report. I have no way of reaching the teachers or finding them, but we'll bring this up tonight for sure for future reference. But there you have it. So I continue to just to be delighted with the way this little walk is unfolding, and still my foot is not hurting. So, yeah, I've reached my church. And this will probably be the last time I come here because there's no way it's going to open again. Hang on, I got my phone on the call. Bonjour, I'm back. I don't like to repeat myself or repeat my steps, but, well, of course I do. I walk down one side, come back the other, and back and forth, criss and cross. But I am back in St. Matthew's Cemetery. I needed to sit down. Loaded myself down. My back is fine until I start carrying heavy things, and then it really does a number. God, you're going to think, is this guy only talk about how he's feeling, how his body is aching? Yeah, well, I foolishly stopped at a dépanneur. I couldn't resist it. It had a neat sign, and they specialized in a lot. And the guy was in there, and there was another customer, maybe an Aussie, I don't know. And this guy was explaining, guy ran the store, the different types of beer he had available. And there was just, you know, bottles that caught my eye that I've never seen before. I mean, I've gone through many, many, many of the Quebec beers, the regulars, but found three bottles, and here they are beside me. Blanche de Paradis. You know, Blanche, white. Anyway, it's scary. It's got a woman. It looks like a ghoul, a ghost. I bought that one mostly for my son. He's in New York now. And he's coming to Toronto next week. Another from Frampton Brasserie, or Brasse, called Benedict Arnold. A fine India Pale Ale. Strong. And then a third one. Do you need to know? Yeah, you probably do. Let's see. What do we got here? Another neat label. Petit Blanc. You know, a white beer. This one sounds interesting. A wheat beer brewed with juniper berries and lime. Unfiltered. Just great labels. And so, but three bottles of beer is heavy, you know, to carry. And that's in addition to the other bottle I bought. So that was one stop. And he almost seemed a little insulted when he said, can I give you, do you need some advice? And I said, no, thank you. I had already picked up my beer and I just didn't want to get talked into anymore. But it was right across from the church. And it's interesting. I picked up that thread again. It's too bad this church is closed. It's, and I get these blank stares. It's as if you're saying you're a communist and somebody doesn't want to get into that conversation. You know, he agreed it was a beautiful church and a very good place for the tourists, but it's like, it's as if there's a wall of silence around this top. Like, we will close every damn church of every damn place of worship from whatever grudge they have against the Catholic people, you know, the priests, whatever. Anyway, it's a, whatever. It's just, I find them, it's a weird vibe about it. So, down the road a little further, there's a French bookshop. I walk in. I said, do you have anything by Jack Kerouac? Now, I shouldn't have done that in English. And he responded, I don't speak English. But I'd said Jack Kerouac. So I went in. I said, okay, okay. And I went in and walked around. And then he came over. And then I think I switched to French. Avez-vous quelque chose de Jack Kerouac? Oh, oui, oui, oui. And then there he was at the section under K. And I said, oh, oui, oui, c'est bien. And I asked him to leave me, you know, and I went. And here in my hand, I have a big copy of Kerouac, Sur la Route. Now, I'll let you guess what Sur la Route means. but it's kind of exciting. I did not really need it, but I needed it. I needed it for my collection. And what's interesting is probably at least 5 years ago, I went into that very same bookshop and I bought The Subterraneans in French by Kerouac. So now I have Sur la Route. So that'd be a good title for this episode or a future episode, Sur la Route. Yeah, I like that. Anyway, there we go. So one more thing to make me happy about this little day out. Now, Judy did call me, did I tell you, and she is sitting, or was sitting with the girl. We realized that now that Judy's back, there's one girl sort of nursing, looking after the girl who's sick, but we can't send her out on her own, so she's kind of stuck back there. Now, the girl who's sick, it's not too serious. Maybe a slight fever and headache, but not really, really a huge problem. But it's unfortunate, of course, for the girl who had to stay behind, is missing an awful lot of prime shopping time in Quebec City. So, you know, I don't know how we can make it up to her, but that's all part of this journey. I cannot reach the teachers. I don't know. I think one of them might have gone for tea at the Chateau Frontenac, but it would be a long shot even trying to find her. So I did give Judy the advice, at least try and keep calling the rooms when the teachers are back, they can settle the problem. So there you have it, a little bit of the business side of my tour. It did make me think, though, that I'm glad I had not had the toke when a girl called me. It was kind of an emergency call, because you never know exactly what headspace you're going to get into. This is the weed that's not just for the back pain, but gets you high. And answering a call like that might have really flummoxed me. So, just as well. All right, I got to get back soon. What time is it now? It's 10 after 2. I got lots of time, but it is a long haul. So I hope you've enjoyed this trip. I certainly have. I need you to know that, because I was concerned, and just it's I just don't understand it. I don't know whether I just threw my ankle out or whatever, but here he goes again. I can walk, all right? And it's lifted that sort of veil of depression that was about to eat away at me. Bye for now.